2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right. Yeah.
Presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Eric in charge of the music every day.
It's solid.
Arcade Fire today?
Very good.
Wow. You're batting 1,000 right now.
Waiting to start, right? Name of the song?
Ready to start.
Ready to start.
That's it.
All right. David Locke's going to join us here in just a moment. David, good to go? Oh, no. We're calling David. We'll chat with David coming up here in just a moment.
Talk to him about this press conference that went on this morning, the announcement of the new Utah Jazz head coach, Will Hardy. And I thought that the press conference was solid. I thought it was pretty short. It was condensed. Not a lot of questions. Very direct. There was definitely some, oh, yeah, he was absolutely our guy, and we love him from your ownership and your CEO. And from him it was, yeah, I'm the guy, and I'm ready to work, so let's go ahead and get going. He used all the phrases. Like, I retweeted one phrase. I think you tweeted it out, that he wants the Jazz to represent toughness, sacrifice, and passion. That was kind of one of his phrases. Like, he said some things to definitely come across as a guy that, look, if he brings toughness back to the Utah Jazz, he'll own this market. He'll own the market. He'll own the fans. He'll own it all. If he can instill that toughness, that grit, that fight, that even we saw from Boston. If he can bring that to the Jazz, people will love him forever. But I just felt like the press conference was like, here's your new head coach. He was like, I'm your new head coach. And it was like, all right, we'll see you.
He's like, let's get to work.
Yeah.
All right, joining us now, play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz, David Locke, joins us. David, how are you?
Hey, David.
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Very good.
Good.
Very good. Good to hear from you.
How are you, Scotty?
Scrambling a bit, but I'm doing all right. Can't complain.
You can call me.
Oh, I'll call you. Yeah.
Come on, man. Let people in.
No. All right. So let's.
Why not? They're going to know soon enough.
They're going to know soon.
Well,
David, why don't you announce it?
I'll let you talk about it.
My daughter has COVID. And since I work with Ron, who is 75 years old, abundance of caution, I went and been testing and was negative at home, but went and did the Jazz rapid test today and have received both a negative and a positive test. And so, in an abundance of caution, until we can get the full test back, Scotty G will be doing the game tonight instead of me.
We're excited. We're gonna miss you, David, but excited for Scotty.
So we got
Wally Pipp here on your interview.
Stop it. So I didn't know we have like an A sample, B sample thing going on here.
I got two negatives and one positive.
Well, to me, that's two negatives and positive makes a negative. So you're
it
good.
It does, except for the fact that, like, if for some reason,
yeah, I know,
I can't. We don't need to get into it. But if for some reason I came back positive, and there is a reason. I mean, there's a reasonable reason of why, right? Like,
yeah.
If I had no exposure at all and had this, I would probably be reacting differently. But if we have, like, if I were to some reason to come back positive, and then have worked with Ron, I'd feel really pretty terrible. So yeah. I'm not going to do that.
So you were able to watch a little bit of the press conference today. Kind of give me your thoughts on what you
mean until I got notified that I might not be able to play. That's
why I said watch, you know, assume maybe TV otherwise.
Scotty's over here beating around the bush, and David's like, just say it, Scott. Just say it.
So I actually took away – I mean, I think there was a lot of stuff we already knew, you know, and I thought it was great. Will gave us, like, the three words to, like, dig into. But I thought one of the more interesting comments was how much the entire front office was used in the search. So – and I thought it was a really interesting comment from Danny Ainge that this was an opportunity for him to get to know those guys better.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was really – that was actually my biggest takeaway, and maybe that's just, you know, too esoteric and off the beaten path for everybody. But the fact that the Jazz had engaged all nine people in the front office and had them in the search, and then, you know, that's a hard way to do it. And then had them all you know, I know – Then you do something interesting when you have that many people going on, though. Suddenly, like, let's say you're going to find out about Will Hardy. Well, then nine different people are making phone calls to probably different people that they know from different experiences about who he is. And so it does give you a pretty good depth of, like, well, what did everybody report back and what did they all have to say? You know, if Charles Terrell's making phone calls, was at Nike for, I think, 15 years, he's calling different people than Bart Taylor, who started in San Antonio with Austin, and then is calling people that probably were Will's interns, who are calling different people than Justin Zanuck, who's, you know, right? And so the fact that they use the whole front office and Steve Schwartz, who is, you know, got a different whole different collection of people, I think that was really interesting to me that that's how the Jazz went about the search in that manner internally. And so, but I also think it's really important moving forward that these guys have now all feel engaged and a part of it. It's not just Danny coming in with some heavy handed, I have my guy, you guys now have to just deal with my decisions, I'm the CEO. It doesn't seem as though that was the search at all.
We heard the question asked about his assistant staff, and he kind of gave a veiled answer. But, David, are we getting any more understanding or idea of what this full staff's going to look like?
Well, let's run through last year's staff, okay? So Sergei has gone to Portland. Dell Demps has gone to Minnesota. A bunch of the video guys, Connor Varney, former Utah Jazz broadcast assistant, got a job with the Phoenix Suns. Congratulations.
There you go.
Really cool story. Chuck, who was kind of their head video guy, just got a job with Sacramento Kings. Vince LaGarza should be signing with the Milwaukee Bucks here shortly, if that's not official. That leaves us Brian Bailey, who's coaching the summer league, so clearly still on staff. Lamar Skeeter, who is coaching summer league and clearly still on staff. And Alex Jensen. So really we're getting down to Alex Jensen. And if there's one kind of great strength to Alex Jensen is his ability to kind of roll and not be highly emotional and work with, you know, and work through things. And so I think there's a real chance that Alex Jensen returns. You know, I think he's under contract, and I think his contract's real. He did not take that Utah job, so I'm just going to assume that there was a pretty nice little bump that was honored to him for that. And he's incredibly valuable. So if I'm, you know, Ryan Smith, Danny Ainge, Justin Zanuck, Will Hardy, and I have someone who's that talented and they're under contract and they're that good a basketball person and they have this much institutional knowledge, I'm certainly not pushing them out the door. So I'm eagerly trying to get you to come and work and work with us. And I think Alex's kind of personality, who he is over time, kind of can work into that. I kind of suspect that comes together, or it's going to take some time, but I would suspect that comes back. So I'm hopeful. Maybe I'm too hopeful just because I like Alex so much, but, and I think that then runs down the staff, doesn't it? Isn't that everybody? Jeff Watkinson.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Jeff Watkinson brings a really unique talent in his ability to both have his medical background. He was basically going to medical school and had all of his degrees, and then pivoted to coaching. And so he's a great conduit between the medical staff and the coaching staff. And that's a unique skill set. So I can't, if he's still available, I would certainly think that that Will Hardy would want to keep that. So, you know, that, and then you fill the pieces. And I don't know what pieces you're filling right now. And there aren't, you know, there hasn't been a huge amount of job change this year. So there aren't a bunch of people like sitting on the sidelines that aren't involved. So that'll be interesting to see what they do in that regard.
So I'm a little curious, and just, I mean, this is maybe not even just the Jazz, but just in general, I think we all assume that a guy gets a head coaching job and then the GM says, all right, here's your salary pool. This is how much money you have. Divvy it up and go build your staff. But when you're, you know, this isn't a knock on him, but he's 34 years old. He's a first time head coach. Does Danny Ainge and this front office retain the right to say, okay, you have two slots that you get to fill for your people and we have two slots or something along those lines? Is that kind of how that works, or is it just all Will Hardy's decision?
No, I think it's collective. I think it's a collective work of everyone involved. And, you know, are there some people that you really have to have on your staff? Okay, great. Let's get those taken care of. And then let's go look at staff makeup and who are the other people that are available. And, hey, you know what? In this process, we interviewed these three people and thought they were amazing. It'd be great if you could talk to them. They interviewed Joe Mullinex who is a really interesting guy, and Will's worked with him. Well, I have a sneaking suspicion that Ame Udoka's probably not going to want to let that guy go. So then he's suddenly not available. Or maybe he is. You know, maybe you're going to make him, you know, a lead assistant of some sort. So I think it just gets – it's a collaborative effort. But I've been around plenty of staffs in which the GM has chosen players. You know, Kevin O'Connor put people on Tyrone Corbin's staff. You know, once these staffs have expanded, it's not uncommon at all. So that wouldn't be like overly heavy handed.
David, as you've had time to let this trade really sink in with Rudy Gobert and some of the assets that the Jazz got back, who are you most excited about? Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, Walker Kessler, Jared Vanderbilt. Am I missing one? I think that's it, right?
Yeah, 2027 and 2029. I mean, those are the 2023 pick. I think we can, like the way I talked about today on Locked On Jazz, is the 2023 pick, you can probably guess in all likelihood it's going to be about 18 to 25. Uh-huh. Like, I think Minnesota finishes anywhere from third to seventh in the West this year.
Yeah.
Right? Clippers and Warriors are probably better, and if the Lakers get Kyrie, they're going to be pretty good if Kyrie decides to play. And so, you know, and then New Orleans will be good. And so there's enough teams in there. They're going to be good. So they're going to be that one, I think you probably are 17 to 25. 2025, who knows? Like, it could be an injury. Anthony Edwards could be grumpy. Cat's unique. So I think your range, or Cat and Jalen McDaniels could really develop. So your range on that one is probably like 15 to 25, right? I don't think with Rudy still healthy, if Rudy's still healthy, they're going to, you know, Rudy's great. 2027, who knows? Like, I think your range is 1 to 30, probably 1 to 25. And 2029, your range is 6 to 25 because it's 1 through 5 protected.
If Rudy I'm sorry, were you going to say something there?
So 2027 and 2029 are the two I'm most excited for.
I do like Vanderbilt. I think he's a solid player. I think there's something to work with there. But let me ask you this. If Rudy Gobert was a free agent right now, could he sign a four-year – $170 million contract with a player option on the fourth year?
I would think so. Why? I'm not following this.
Well, no, my thought process is Rudy Gobert at 30 years old, where he's at right now, does he command that kind of money on an open market, or did Minnesota have to vastly overpay to get him to couple him up or to bring him on that team?
I think Rudy might be the most finely tuned athlete in the NBA. like the amount of work he puts in, and actually like appropriately proportioned as well. So I'm not particularly worried about Rudy's aging. He has had some knee issues recently. Like he did have to have an MRI in the off season to kind of make sure there wasn't something wrong there. So there's certainly some wear and tear on a 7-footer body, and 7-footers age less well than some other positions. So there are some things that would trend me in the wrong direction. I mean, the issue on Rudy is like how detrimental would the last two years of his contract be, I guess, on your roster. And so, you know, Minnesota is pretty hamstrung when we start talking about 2027, 2029, and maybe even 2025 on what they have left that they can do. They don't have, like, if this for some reason doesn't work, their only option then is trading Kat or trading Rudy. Like, they don't have, like, if this doesn't work, they don't have, and they're going to lose D'Angelo at some point, I would think. So those things, you know, I don't know if that's where you're heading with. I'm not sure I totally followed you as well as you wanted to. Led me down the road, and I didn't.
That's not my fault. I'm just looking at what Rudy's owed right now. All right, he's got 4 years on his contract, fourth year being essentially a $47 million player option. If Rudy hit the open market right now, could he get that same exact contract that he's owed over the next 4 years? That's all I'm asking.
Maybe. I think so. I do think so. I could be wrong on this, but I keep hearing, and it makes sense, that the next TV money is going to be bigger, not way bigger, not smaller. Like, I keep hearing that the new max contract is going to be $70
million. Well, there you go.
And so when you look at Jokic, I just think I just took Nikola Vukovic and Nikola Jokic and turned them into one player. They don't need to be because Nikola Jokic is good enough. But when you look at Jokic's deal, like that number was mammoth, right? That's 60 in his final year, I think. So Rudy's 40 seems more palatable. So I would think so. I mean, let's see what DeAndre Ayton gets. I think he's going to get a max contract here pretty soon.
David, I don't want you to try to reach into Donovan Mitchell's mind and tell me what he's thinking about everything that's been done to this point. So I'm going to just ask you, if you were in Donovan's shoes and you saw everything happen with, you know, Pascal and O'Neal and now the move with Rudy, seeing the new hire, the guy they hired, and just reading the tea leaves and seeing the landscape, how would you feel about where you're at as an all-star, where you are, and where this Jazz organization is headed based off of everything we've seen?
Maybe uncertain. Is that fair?
I think that's fair. And I think uncertain is probably the first thing that comes to my mind too.
But also let's just think about where the organization was, right? So let's kind of walk into where the organization was in the last two major periods of time here. Right. So they, and Donovan can be whatever, however he wants to react. But so we got to draft night. We didn't do anything, right?
Yep.
There was nothing to be done.
Yeah.
Like, we got to free agency, there was nothing to be done. Right? Like, when the Jazz decided, whatever, over the last 3 years, to re-sign every single one of their players, it felt great at the time. But the lingering after effect of that is that you get in trouble because of it, and then you have to trade your draft picks to get out from under contracts, and then you're over the tax. Like, so there is, like, there is a ramification to be paid, and they paid it this off season, which was that there just weren't anything for them to do. So Donovan can feel like a little like, however, I don't know how Donovan feels, but the fact is that like the organization had really one route only going into this off season, which really was one of two choices: bring the whole thing back or make a monster trade with Rudy Gobert or Donovan Mitchell. And they've done one of the things. They now have multiple routes by which they can move forward. They can use draft picks to acquire talent. They can move other pieces of their puzzle to match what they have now better. They can trade if things aren't working out. Some either trade deadline or next year, they don't need to do it any sooner. They could trade Donovan for another cadre of picks and then be in a full rebuild mode. But they have multiple options now. And so I actually would argue that if Donovan feels uncertain, which is probably a word that most people would classify as a negative, it's way positive for the organization because they were like paralyzed basically or neutralized prior to this. So I don't know how Donovan feels, but if you want to know like what the organization's options are in routes, I would far rather go to Google Maps and have them tell me I got multiple routes to get somewhere than going to Google Maps and them saying, sorry, you're stuck, buddy. Like, you're right there. I know there's an inferno going on.
Uh-oh. You there, David?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you cut out there for a second.
Well, I'm pacing.
All right, so this is me not being good at my job, and I don't know how to ask a question, but this is more an observation. So I don't like the narrative that seems to be out there that Rudy lost and Donovan won. That the team said, we have to choose one. Donovan's the guy that we're building this organization around. Rudy, you're out, and it's a win. You know, one player won, another player lost. I do believe there's a couple things you can look at here. Number one, you got a new head coach that got a five-year contract as opposed to a four-year contract. And I do think that you just told the rest of the NBA, if you want to take one of our all-stars, this is the asking price, an unprecedented amount of picks, and that's what it's going to take to get one of our all-stars. But they are available if the price is essentially right. And so the narrative out there that this whole team is like, this is now built around Donovan Mitchell, and this is Donovan's team, and he's going to be a fixture here forever. I just don't like that because I do think that, hey, look, at this point with the Utah Jazz, everything's on the table at this point.
So there were a lot of different things you touched on there. Who won, who lost? It's kind of irrelevant, right? Like, okay, if you want to go play that game, they can go Stephen A. Like, it's just irrelevant.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I mean, quite frankly, I just did a huge research project on Lockdown. It's why we're so wildly successful, is because people don't want that crap anymore. Like, that's literally what we found out in our survey. Is people want good conversations about their team, and not the only time anybody ever talks about their team on a national level is that these, you know, totally flamboyant conversations of irrelevancy. And that's what that is. Now, who won, who lost? I don't know. Like, I do know this, and I'm pretty comfortable in this. I don't think the Jazz went to the offseason saying we have to trade Rudy Gobert. I'm pretty comfortable
with
that.
I'm with you on that.
They got an offer that was significant enough that they had to take it, or that they decided to take it. And I think they also had read the landscape of, and this is something I haven't heard anyone talk about. I'm not entirely sure, and I'm surprised I was wrong with this, because I actually thought that this wasn't the case. I think the window to trade Rudy was shrinking. So, like, there was the Atlanta conversations, but I can't really piece together anything that felt real there, okay? Like, I don't know what other conversations were actually out there that are super real.
Yeah.
So, like, if you have Minnesota coming at you, and there's an environment that people think you're willing to do it, and that they're going to have to pay for it, because you're willing to, because he's still in his prime, he's still got a bunch of, and Minnesota goes and does something else instead, and then, I mean, I don't know that Minnesota was the only suitor. I can't imagine Danny Ainge got that offer with that being the only suitor, but I don't have a feeling that there was a lot of other stuff out there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, the win-loss narrative is uninteresting to me. Like, what's more interesting to me is, like, why now? And I don't really believe that they went to the offseason with this as their sole intention. I think this came about, and it was too good, having just gone through two processes where they were completely hamstrung and had no flexibility, and frankly are finding that, you know, Mike Conley and Bojan Bogdanovic aren't yielding a lot in the trade market right now, that they didn't have a lot of different options to alter their club, and they really didn't want to bring back the same team.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
I mean, my decision-making tree, if I was them, would have been, what can I trade other than Donovan and Rudy to go get a major piece and give us a chance And those major pieces weren't that interesting. They were Kristaps Porzingis, Tobias Harris, or Damian Lillard. Those were the only three I could come up with. Like DeJounte Murray, you're not giving away a ton of picks to do this if you're the Jazz, because you can't give away more picks.
Yeah.
So you couldn't pull off any of those three. Then you couldn't really improve the team, it doesn't seem, by trading Bojan Bogdanović and Mike Conley a great deal. Well, then what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Your two choices at that point are moving one of your stars if you can get a incredible package, or two, bringing the same thing back with a new head coach, which maybe. I also think Donovan's trade value is more longer lasting.
Yeah. Well, David, appreciate it, man.
Great stuff.
Go get that next negative. Okay, let's go.
I'm just sitting around waiting for it now.
Take care of yourself, David.
All right.
You take care of yourself. You're the one who sounds the sickest of the group.
It's these allergies, man. I get these these seasonal allergies. Flonase. This wind is killing me.
Flonase. Every day. Flonase.
I'm going to hit it.
Thanks, David. Okay.
See you guys.
All right. David Locke, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. There you go. Interesting thoughts. And, you know, and it wasn't – I'm not trying – this isn't some ulterior motive. I'm not trying to say that it was – the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do for Minnesota or for the Jazz. I'm just curious about if Donovan or if Rudy Gobert would get that same contract right now on the open market. I tweeted out. You can follow me on Twitter at Scotty G Zone. Give me your thoughts. I'm not poking holes in anything. I'm just asking questions. Does he get that contract on the open market if he's a free agent right now? All right, Miles Broadhead, kind enough to join us from Wasatch Medical. All you have to do is call 801-901-8000. You get a free assessment, free conversation with a physician if you're struggling with ED, and kind of walk us through what goes on during that free assessment. Miles, you there? And Miles is gone. 801-901-8000. That's 801-901-8000. Call, take advantage of that free assessment, the free conversation with a physician. And you, my friend, are going to get squared away. It's acoustic wave therapy, no little blue pill, no surgeries, no needles. When you're talking about that area south of the border, hands, nobody wants to hear about that stuff. So acoustic wave therapy, let's get you taken care of.
Let them help you.
Yeah. 801-901-8000 right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah.
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. 60 and 60, time to make another announcement. Remember, all brought to you by Cypress Credit Union is the longest-serving credit union in Utah. They're here to help you with all your financial needs. Your future is their future. And it is time for number 43.
Here we go.
Now let's get this party started.
This is the top 60 and 60 as the zone counts you down to the start of the 2022 college football season. And now it's time for today's selection as voted on by the local sports media and you, the fan.
The countdown stays in Logan for a dynamic defensive force that the Aggies hope will continue to be a major contributor in 2022. From Utah State University, 6'2", 235-pound linebacker, A.J. Bongpachar.
Utah State University head coach Blake Anderson.
A.J. Bongpachar at the middle linebacker spot. Will, he really is versatile, can play either one of those two. Played a lot last year and got better every snap. Understands the system. Should have a great season. Definitely a guy that we need on the field, can play not only on defense, but basically play all four special teams as well. And it is a big factor for us.
This is the Top 60 and 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. Top 60 and 60 on 97.5 1280 The Zone.
A.J. Vongpachon coming in at number 43, continues to play well. I think a lot of people are anticipating that this is going to be his big year after kind of being in the shoes of Rice last year.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people expect this to be his defense.
I could hear Coach Anderson saying, A.J. Vongpachon, middle linebacker, outside linebacker, Will plays a touch of safety. You moves him defensive end. We'll put him sometimes at D-tackle, and he punts. I'm watching film of Vongpachon, and he's all over the place. They rotate him. They move him. He's never in the same spot twice. He's never hitting the same angles. He's rushing. He's into coverage. He's a kind of a do-it-all guy. And he's got the build that he can do it all. That's why the video that I grabbed and tweeted out is of him as a walked-up Mike linebacker in a blitz situation, taking a 320-pound center about 3 yards deep and getting a sack. It's an impressive play, and I want you to go watch it. 975 Hants on Twitter. I need to start posting these on Instagram, but 975 Hants on Instagram too. Go watch this latest one, the one against San Diego State that I just posted out on Vongpachon. You'll see why he's in our top 60. Number 43 might be a little bit low for him. You know, with the expectations, Scotty, the expectation is he should be in the top 25.
Yeah.
That's the expectations of a guy like AJ. But his production and what I think his potential is probably somewhere in that 35 range. Somewhere in that 30 to 35 range. So I want him to play out of this 43 number. I want him to play into that 30 when we re-rank things. And I think he's very capable of that. But the two videos I sent out, one of him getting a sack for a safety, the other one of him taking a center deep and getting a sack, it shows his speed, his creativity, his intelligence. You know, the first sack that I tweeted out, he's got outside contained responsibilities. He's got to collapse down, and then he hesitates. He does a hesitate blitz. So go watch these, and you'll see why AJ is going to be huge for Utah State.
So, you know, I think what we do well on this show is we protect each other.
Yeah.
Like if somebody makes a mistake, we don't like to bring it up. No, I just didn't know if this was a term. And I know that you're trying to multitask and talk on the radio and send out the tweets.
Yeah.
At the same time. I just didn't know if like AJ Vongpachon just puked the center, or did you mean to say punked the center?
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Punked.
Cause he did kind of like just ran right over him. Just tossed him like somebody would toss their cookies when they
missed the end on that one.
I like it. I'm just trying to keep my football lingo up to date. So I just didn't know if that's a new term.
No, nothing's changed. You're still up to date. That I just missed.
I think you'll leave it.
Yeah, he did puke the center. It gives a different meaning for sure.
I think if you're the O-line coach for San Diego State in that film room, you're puking watching that thing.
Oh, I promise you. I just want people to go look at this thing because he really did unleash on him.
All right. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly, brought to you by Zero Res. No soaps, no harsh chemicals to clean those carpets like some carpet cleaners do. Right now, you schedule your carpet cleaning for just $33 per room. Three rooms cleaned at $33 per, and the fourth room is yours for free. Search Zero Res online for details. Set up that appointment.
Well, I think for the good, Joey Chestnut, I think, is on his way down. I think he peaked. I think when he hit 76 hot dogs, he set a standard and a record that will never be touched. I don't think anybody's going to come within 30 hot dogs of it. But he's kind of on his way down. He hit 63 yesterday, and as I do every 4th of July, I tune in to watch the Nathan's hot dog eating competition. So I was settling in, and I'm watching him, Joey Chestnut, go bonkers on these hot dogs. And behind, so there's two rows of tables.
Yeah.
Behind the table that he's on, you see this like black streak that flies kind of behind the table. And it turns the corner and runs right up on Joey Chestnut. You can tell that it's not a planned piece. And it's a guy in a Darth Vader mask with I think he's got a Darth Vader cape on. He's holding a sign. I don't know what the sign means.
Essentially called a meat processing plant the Death Star.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah. And so that's why the Darth Vader, because there were a couple of guys in Stormtrooper uniforms too.
Yeah, because they got arrested too.
And, but yeah, I think they were protesting a certain animal processing plant.
Okay. Well, Joey Chestnut gets bumped because he's center stage. So the guy bumps him to hold the sign up. Joey turns and throws this guy in a really serious headlock and then chucks him backwards. And it was really kind of a beautiful thing. It was a scary thing because of where we're at as a country right now. You know, we're seeing unpredictable things, and another one happened yesterday, and horrifying things. And so when you see something like that, you're like, uh-oh, what is going on? And Joey, man, he took down Darth Vader quick.
Yeah. No, that's a guy that okay, so let's figure this out here. So the record is what, 72?
76.
76. He ended up with how many yesterday?
63.
Okay. Had he not got bumped off his momentum there.
Two dogs.
I was thinking, two or three, maybe. Yeah,
two dogs.
So he's still well off his pace. Because I saw some people like, well, if this guy didn't do it, he'd be still in the 70s. I don't think he's getting to the 70s.
I don't know what his, for the Nathan's hot dog competition, I don't know what his motive is other than getting some free hot dogs, because the next closest person in this one, I think, was like 42.
Oh, geez. Where's Kobayashi? Is he all done?
Nathan's got rid of him.
Oh, they booted him out?
Yeah. Yeah, because he wanted to make money off his own brand, and Nathan's was like, okay, but this is the Nathan's hot dog eating competition. We've made this famous. Joey Chestnut's made this famous. If you want to compete in the most famous hot dog eating competition, then you'll just compete as a competitor, not bring Team Kobayashi. He just got money hungry, which I understand.
Yeah.
You know, eating all that food, you want to make a little bit of money off it.
I mean, honestly, what's Joey Chestnut making these days? Just floating around and...
It's funny because I think I saw that number not too long ago.
Says estimated net worth around $2 million.
Yeah, I think he makes around $200,000 a year, $220,000 a year.
Yeah, good for him.
Goes around to different eating competitions.
Hey, you see our guy Badlands Booker, whatever, did the won the gallon lemonade. Yeah. I'd forgotten why that lemonade thing was around. It's because of that dude drank a gallon of lemonade.
Badlands is an institution. He is to drinking liquid what Joey Chestnut is to consuming hot dogs.
Should we try the lemonade again sometime soon?
I would love to, yeah.
You know, Eric, I tried. What'd you give me, a half hour? It's
1 gallon in 30 minutes.
That just seems like a really bad... Why would you put yourself through that?
I tried it, and I
You're about 30 ounces away.
Yeah, I was close.
It was about 30 ounces away.
But didn't you feel... Because I did listen to the show that day and the next. Did you feel, like, death the next day?
Oh,
like,
no, I've never felt worse in my entire life.
Like, why would you put yourself through that?
Well, there's this thing called the trendsetters I'm trying to make go away. Like, I mean, no pun intended, but the juice is going to be worth the squeeze when we get that thing done.
Can I Instagram the picture?
No, you cannot Instagram the picture. No, this is why I try to drink all this lemonade.
I think it's too late.
Oh, man. Glamour shots by Deb with the trendsetters, man. It's the best.
The old hand on the chin.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
It's the best. I've got a picture of Scotty as a trendsetter, and it is great. And it will go away if you eat if you drink the gallon in 30 minutes. That's just a lot, buddy. Badlands did it in, 15 seconds?
Yeah, it was less than 30 seconds.
Yeah, it was fast. But Joey Chestnut is not one to be trifled with.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Good, the Bad, the Ugly, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Coming up next, whole world news straight ahead right here on The Zone.
Every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by You First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Go!
It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News, presented by City Creek Mortgage on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Every road in this here land, I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
That's not a bad fill-in song, though, Eric.
Yeah, I feel really bad, though, because I thought that open had the whole world.
Yeah.
Would you two like to sing a live rendition?
No.
Oh, all right.
I don't know, maybe a karaoke night. We might be able to pull this one off. All right, whole world news spanning the globe right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Oh, I did not. Eric, did Lloyd give you you got the audio on this?
Yeah.
Oh, hot darn.
I sent it over this morning.
This story made me so happy, and I kind of wanted to surprise you with it, yeah. But I'm glad that you were able to enjoy it beforehand.
Oh, it's beautiful, and people need to bear with it a little bit. The news story that we're going to play is a little bit lengthy. It's just over 2 minutes, but there are so many great cuts from this chicken killer that you have to hear it all. Like some of the excuses and some of the terms he uses. But we only have to go to Jacksonville, Florida, to find this next story, Scotty. And you found this one over the weekend, and it is a crack up.
Oh, this is one of the better stories. It's right up there with Pan Man, for crying out loud. But a neighbor had a rooster that he was he loved that rooster.
Yeah.
Well,
this is Pat Rooster.
It got a little sideways with the neighbor. The neighbor killed it. And now we got ourselves a full-fledged neighborhood showdown.
He's been arrested.
Over the death of this rooster. Let's take you to the news story out of Jacksonville.
Well, I went to jail. They come arrested me last Thursday. They were here.
I losing the animals, but I was not expecting them losing to my neighbor. That was like my friend.
Neighbors in a fight over a dead rooster, and one of them facing a felony charge. Aggravated animal cruelty is a third-degree felony, meaning that he could face up to 5 years in prison. I'm Tanika Hughes.
I'm Ben Becker, in for John Bachman. Action Jack's Kristen Rary's live at JSO. Kristen, all right, so you spoke to both neighbors who disagree on how and why the rooster died.
Yeah, and the two neighbors say they will not come to an agreement, but no matter what, it ended with one of them spending 30 hours inside the jail on an animal cruelty charge he says he disagrees with.
I didn't know to give it a 21-gun salute, CPR, mouth-to-mouth, you know, or call the chicken ambulance.
Big Roo was Jason DeFelice's pet rooster. That is, until James Nix hit it with a stick.
So I'm defending myself. You know, I was feared for my safety, and the chicken, you know, died.
Nix says the rooster attacked people.
I have not heard that, because I know the neighbor here. I know him. Like, we're friends. He never said anything to me about it.
I did tell him, after the chicken hit my dad, I said, hey, man, the chicken attacked my dad. Oh, what's the deal? It's just a chicken. What's he gonna do? You know, okay, well, look.
The neighbors even disagree on how others saw Big Roo.
The kids that used to live over there, they were throwing rocks and sticks at this chicken to keep it away.
I know the kids down here, they played with the rooster a little bit, like would throw rocks at it and chase it.
So one day when Nix says the rooster followed him and attacked him.
His neck flares up and he's doing his thing and he's trying to jump up at me.
He was trying to get the animal away.
And I try to hit it, but the chicken's jumping up at me and I accidentally knocked it in the head. You know, call it a lucky shot, whatever.
But when DeFelice came home, all he saw was his rooster dead in a ditch.
I said, I'm calling JSO. I called JSO. JSO didn't do nothing. Then a couple days later, I realized I could call animal control.
And in late June, James Nix went to jail for animal cruelty.
Next thing you know, he calls the chicken police on me.
While the neighbors continue the fight, Nix says he never should have been arrested.
Chickens are dying every day, people, at churches, Popeyes, and Kentucky Fried Chicken. Really.
That is pure gold.
I was so happy. Thank you, Florida. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Goes and calls the chicken police on me. He's a, I don't know, might have been a lucky shot or I don't know.
People are killing chickens every day. Churches, Popeyes, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
The rooster come up on me and his neck was flaring up and all.
The video is even better because the guy's like flapping his arms like he's trying to act like he's a chicken.
He's animated.
Oh, yeah.
But he went to jail for 30 hours.
Yeah.
He was in holding for 30 hours and he is facing a felony charge. And this thing could get pretty ugly.
The neighbor's not—he's not backing down.
No,
he's not. He's a little upset. That's his rooster.
Big Roo was killed.
Big Roo's dead.
Yeah,
and that dude wants his pound of flesh. Man, he's not happy.
And I totally understand that. You know, just being a lover of all pets and animals, if you've got a, you know, there's people that got pet chickens. Gordon had one.
Gordon had the pet chicken.
And Big Dumb Huey basically did this to it.
Huey Wheeler.
Yeah. And that sucks. Because Gordon loved that chicken. He took him to school with him.
So the house that we live in now, I think I've told you about the chickens, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because when we were checking out the house, and we loved the house. Everything was great about the house. Spencer Nelson owned it. I was talking to Spencer about buying his house. And there were chickens everywhere. And to me, I'm like, this is a deal breaker. Like, if the neighbors have chickens, I can't have chickens. I don't want them. They're smelly. They're gross. They're loud. I don't like chickens. I grew up with chickens on a farm. They're disgusting. I don't like them. I like to eat eggs, and I like to eat chicken. I don't like them or in my backyard. And so I'm thinking that this is probably going to be a deal breaker. Like, if the neighbors have chickens and they're everywhere, I don't think I can do this.
Yeah.
And I went over, and I was talking to Spencer about some other things, and he actually had this rooster, like, in his arms, cradling it like a baby and petting it on its head. And he's like, hey,
That sounds like Spencer.
I just need you to know these chickens are going with me. And I'm like, no, you don't say.
And he's trying to jump up at me.
He's been trying to get the animal away.
Oh, my gosh. This guy is out of his mind.
So I guess people get really attached to their chickens. It makes no sense to me, but.
Well. I think that this guy, it sounds like he was trying to defend himself. He had pictures. Did you see the pictures of his dad that got attacked? Looks like the rooster did a little damage to his dad. You know, roosters have talons.
Next thing you know, he calls the chicken police on me.
I don't know if there's a chicken police, but he got called on him.
Oh, my gosh.
You're right. This guy is as classic as the Pan Man.
Yeah. It's right up there.
We may need to play this one again when Lloyd comes back. I know Lloyd's heard it.
Yeah.
Has Lloyd heard it?
I sent it to both
of
you.
I think he put it in.
Yeah.
I think he put it into the system. So did Lloyd put that in, Eric? So Lloyd probably,
yeah, Lloyd put it in.
Okay, so Lloyd has heard it. Good.
All right, hands to Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. 2 o'clock hour coming up next. We'll revisit that press conference with Will Hardy straight ahead right here on The Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.